Hi, I'm Eloy Ortiz Oakley, Chancellor of the California Community Colleges, and you're listening to another edition of the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office Podcast. Today, I'm joined by two outstanding students, Alexis Zaragoza and Aisha Youngblood. They're two students who have been in our California Community Colleges, who have been leaders in the California Community Colleges, and I have the great pleasure of being joined by both of them. Today, we'd like to talk about who our students really are. A lot is said across the country about who are students in the community colleges or in higher education in general. And I think that story continues to change. And Alexis and Aisha are here with us to help us think through and better understand who our students are and what their own experiences are. So Alexis and Aisha, welcome. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
All right, so let's get started. There's been this thing in the news lately that I think has really highlighted what's going on in higher education and pulled the curtain on what happens, particularly at what some consider elite universities. We've had this whole college admission scandal. We've had a lot of talk about how the most privileged have greater opportunity than others to get into these schools. And I think it leaves behind the conversation about what happens every day at schools like in the California Community Colleges, like in the California State University System, and other public institutions. So why don't we start with you, Aisha? A lot of people have their own conception or misconception about what a traditional college student is. What would you say is the traditional college student from your experience? Who do you see on campus? Tell us about your story as well and who you are as a student.
I would say for me, the traditional college student, especially community college student, looks like a mid-20s, late-20s person. Majority of my peers have been in the workforce, they've had careers, and then they chose to return because of being laid off or they needed a greater opportunity to provide for their families. And I think that's a growing number. So for myself, it's much of the same. Like straight out of high school, I went to the four-year university and I was like, you know what? I'm not ready for this. So then I went and joined the workforce and whatnot, explored a little bit. And then when I was ready to come back to school, I did. And so that's where I'm at now. Like, navigating my way through the system as a traditional or non-traditional student, I would say.
Not that we need to know your age, but I assume you're not an 18-year-old right out of high school.
No, far from it. You can see the grays coming in.
So, Alexis, how would you describe the students that you run into day-to-day on your campus? You know, tell us a little bit about your story as well.
Well, every single day on campus, you know, you see a lot of mothers, fathers just fitting in extra night classes, going home to take care of their kids. You see a lot of people returning from the times that they had previously been in community college and now they're coming back. There's a lot of students who are otherwise homeless. They don't really have a lot of financial means to them. We have a lot of different kinds of students coming to our campus. I see a lot of them. I work at our library. And so I see a lot of different students coming in all the time. And most of the time, they're not the typical straight out of high school 18-year-olds who have maybe a part-time job and know exactly what they're going to do with their lives. And personally, I would say I would fit the description of the typical community college student more so in like the stereotypical way. I did come here straight out of high school, but there are definitely parts of it that don't fit. For example, I didn't just work part-time to kind of gain work experience like a lot of people would think. A lot of times I was working two jobs at a time, trying to make ends meet, trying to help my mom with the bills. Sometimes I would have to go and lower my class schedule just because I wasn't really sure if I was going to be able to handle it. And although I'm close to meeting the two-year mark, it took 3 years for me. It could have taken a lot longer if I didn't have the emotional support of my family.
So I would assume that in both of your cases, although correct me if I'm wrong, your parents or family members didn't buy your way into the colleges you attend. Is that a correct assumption?
Definitely.
So Aisha, what has been your interaction with your family, with your friends and relatives when you discuss higher education? How have they been part of your decision-making, and have you had to also contribute to supporting your family along your academic journey?
Definitely. So straight out of high school, I went to college, but growing up, my mother was disabled. So I went away to college thinking I could afford it and be like, yeah, this is all fun and dandy. But that wasn't the case. And so I took time to like go to work, and I have sisters who are 4 years younger than me. So what I did was take on a job that like required like 60 hours a week to work. And I encouraged them to go to school, and I put a lot of my paycheck towards like funding their education so that they could advance, because only way out of poverty for us, especially like an inland empire, is like getting an education. And so like really like making like that my prerogative. So higher education, like in my house, is extremely important. And so doing whatever I can to back that. And so now like being back in school, getting my bachelor's and working on my bachelor's and whatnot.
And how about you, Alexis? How has the interaction with your family, with your extended family, your neighborhood, how has that influenced how you think about going to college and beyond?
Well, I'm very lucky because my mother went to college. She got her BA. She's now a teacher. And so college wasn't something that was too foreign to me. It was always something that I knew I wanted to do. But it definitely got harder once I actually got to the point of going into college because of finances and making sure I knew how much I was going to need. So my senior year of high school, I kind of assumed, oh, it'll all work out. Ended up going to the community college because I knew I wasn't going to be able to afford a CSU or a UC. And even at the point right now, looking at transferring, I finally reached this point where I'm about to transfer, but not being sure if I'm even going to be able to afford to.
Right.
And so that, along with different financial responsibilities with my parents, I do live in a single parent household. Both of my parents are separated and neither has yet to remarry. So it is like a one income kind of household. And I always feel the responsibility to keep helping out. And I almost feel guilty for leaving home, even, you know, upon transferring, because I feel like I'm not going to be there if they need me.
Right. How have you managed to balance not only those direct responsibilities, that feeling of guilt, as well as being able to support yourself? How have you balanced all those things in addition to being a student, in addition to being a student leader?
I would say it's definitely been a hard fight. The reason why I took 3 years was not because I was even really behind in classes. It was more because I wanted to do so much with my time, and I felt like I just didn't have the resources to do it all in 2 years. And so joining student government and being involved was something that I really love to do. With my financial situation being the way that it is, I know that the only reason I stayed in there was because I loved it. Because I could have easily made the wiser decision to go and get a second job or to work more hours if I was able. But it means that, you know, really just dedicating my time to that kind of activism was something that I really loved doing.
Right.
And then I had really good resources once I found them. It was a while before I actually found the resources that really started helping me, like tutoring, library help. I had different mentors that helped me out throughout my entire college career so far. And without that, I definitely wouldn't have been able to do everything that I've done. And it probably would have taken me a lot longer to graduate from community college.
Right. So, Aisha, you've already made your way to the California State University system. How have you balanced everything in making that transition from community college to the CSU? Have you come across any other challenges that you didn't anticipate?
No, I think that the transition from community college to a CSU is actually very seamless. And I guess in like my situation, I go to Cal State San Bernardino. It's like one of the largest commuting CSUs.
Right.
So really, in essence, it feels like a giant community college. And so I think a lot of the support and stuff like operates like my community college did. And so I think the transition for me has been easy in that essence.
Well, that's good to hear. So since Cal State San Bernardino got a plug, Alexis, which school do you go to?
Oh, well, I go to Modesto Junior College right now.
Great.
Looking to transfer.
And where would you like to transfer?
I would like to transfer to Stanford, but I am also applying to UC Berkeley, UC Davis, and Santa Clara University.
Well, I know we'd love to see you in the UC, and if Santa Clara and Stanford are listening, they would really benefit if they allowed you to transfer. So you all have talked about the challenges of financing your education from the standpoint of just the finances that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, manage in the households that you live in, but also the finances that you need to succeed in college. And Alexis, you talked about finding resources. How easy or not so easy has it been to find financial resources to pay to go to college? As many of our listeners know, California community colleges have very low tuition, but you still need to find resources. So How hard or difficult has it been to find those resources? And what changes do you think could happen to make it easier for students like yourself to gain access to those resources?
I think it's been very difficult so far. I do get the Promise Grant, so mm-hmm. I do not pay for tuition.
Great.
But there are so many different costs that go into an education at a community college. I live nearly 45 minutes away from my college, mm-hmm. and so I commute every day. During the first semester, I wasn't able to do as much or stay as late in the library because I had to take buses to and from school.
Wow.
And the buses leave at a certain time, and after that, you can't get on one. Or my mom had to come pick me up. And of course, if we were struggling that month, it was really difficult to get back home.
Right.
I've definitely had different challenges with cost, but I have not gotten Cal Grants or Pell Grants, and it's because my, the income level is right on the borderline between being eligible and being
right.
not, which has been very scary for us, mainly because, I will tell my mom about all the things that I want to do and the different places I want to go, and always is there like the constant worry of you don't have savings, you don't have the resources available, I don't have the resources available for you. And, we all wish that we had that, but it's become almost scary.
Right.
Thinking about transferring and going somewhere else because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And our financial aid offices are really good, and, they've helped me along with everything. But in reality, if the resources just aren't there, then I can't have access to them.
Right.
And so luckily, last summer, I was unemployed for a while. And right toward the beginning of school, I was told that I was being given work study. And so that
great.
Was really amazing for me. And without that, I don't know what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times it's really hard for college students to find jobs.
Right.
I mean, I've done a lot of stuff. And still, I went to 7-8 different interviews over that summer and could not get a job. Because
mm-hmm.
they knew that school was going to be coming up
right.
and I wouldn't have the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a lot of cases, all of our students, including myself, we're trying really hard to make these ends meet. But there's not enough financial resources to go around. Not
right.
enough of our students actually qualify and get the money that they need to
mm-hmm.
live.
So how about you, Aisha? How hard or not so hard has it been to find the financial resources, both in your family and with the colleges that you've attended, to help you pay for attending college?
Well, I would say on a community college level, it was nearly impossible
mm-hmm.
because they don't have financial aid. Like you could, most California community college students don't get Cal Grants. I mean,
right.
a Pell Grant is available if you qualify, but outside of that, I think it was like extremely hard, and that's why I found myself working like 40 to 60 hour work weeks.
Wow.
But transferring, I get a greater financial aid package,
mm-hmm.
which definitely like relieves the burden, and which means I can hold a part-time job and then do all the advocacy work, in which I feel like is important. And I'm not like just working to survive.
Right.
Because I have greater access to resources and financial aid at a four-year system, which is kind of crappy, right? If you're going through the community college system and it's supposed to be the lowest tuition.
I think crappy is a technical term you're using, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And you're supposed to be like, it's the easy, not the easiest, but it's the cheapest, it's the best option, but really you find yourself with all these out-of-pocket costs and
right.
no institutional aid or anything to help you with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like extremely hard to be in the community college system searching for aid to help you offset costs.
Right. So you mentioned that even though now that you're at the CSU, you're getting financial aid, you're still having to work. Is that because you want to work or because you have to work?
Because I have to work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of listeners are surprised by that. Not only do many students receive a financial aid when they go on to CSU or UC, but they also have to continue to work. So speaking of which, the Hope Center recently did a study of California Community College students, and they found that of the 40,000 California Community College students surveyed, 50% were food insecure in the prior month. 60% were housing insecure, in other words, homeless. And 19% were homeless in the previous year. So, Aisha, as you think about that data, does that reflect your experience as a student? Is that what you saw happening on campus?
I would say, yeah, I think that absolutely reflects like my campus and campuses all across the state. That is a strong reality for college students because a lot of times you have to choose whether you're going to buy this textbook and pass this class or whether you're going to eat for the next month, especially at the beginning of terms. And so I think a lot of times students are just put in impossible situations. And It's one or the other.
Right.
And a lot of students don't get the opportunity to have both.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Alexis? Did that reflect your experience? Were you surprised by those results?
I was not surprised at all. Not only myself, but a lot of my friends have dealt with these problems in terms of food insecurity, especially because food can be so expensive, especially on our campuses. Just something as simple as a $5 bill, if that's all you have left for the day or for the week, that has to go toward maybe some money to get on the bus mm-hmm. or to put into your gas tank or to be spent on just like another meal. And so it's extremely difficult for our students to get by every single day. And choices like that that you're making between gas and food, those are completely normal. A lot of our students have those thoughts on every single day, and they don't even think twice about it. It's normal. It's exactly what everyone else around you goes through, too. Everyone is broke. And then in terms of housing insecurity, especially, too, you know, I have talked to a lot of students while I've been here, and there are so many students who have had to live out of their cars mm-hmm. and who have had to park in a McDonald's drive-through area, you know, the parking lot, and use their Wi-Fi for things like to turning in assignments. And so all of these different problems are things that happen all the time. You know, I've had friends who have lost their homes and they're just kind of living with their family in vans for a while.
Right.
It's all completely normal and it shouldn't be normal, but it is.
No, absolutely. It shouldn't be normal. So as you think about the recent news about the college admission scandal and some of the things that were going on, as you know, a person struggling, a person coming out of a low-income community as a person of color. How did that make you feel, Alexis, when you heard that news?
Well, for one, I didn't find it very surprising because I feel like we all kind of consider that to be a reality. But seeing that concrete proof, it really hurts being someone from that kind of a background, from having so many friends of that background. A lot of us say there's no way we can get into that school because right. it's so high up there and it's so out of reach. But those of us who do really put in all of our time and effort, who spend every single day until 9 p.m. in the library working, who go into tutor and, you know, really are just trying to work hard, and already we're working two jobs, we're trying our hardest. And even though those kind of people have that upper hand already economically, they're still being given that extra bump up. Whereas, right. you know, our students are working so tirelessly and they believe that these kind of things are out of reach. And this is, you know, one reason why.
Right. How about you, Aisha? Did you have any immediate reaction when you heard that story break?
No, it was just like, oh, typical.
Yes.
'Cause, I mean, I just feel like in this day and age, when you have money, especially like a lot of money, I think people buy their way into things. So it wasn't surprising at all. But I think for all the people who like seriously work their butts off day in and day out, it's extremely discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Like how hard you have to work, and the possibility that when you apply to these elite schools, you're like, no, not getting in because you gave it to someone who didn't even work a fraction of what you worked. And I just think it like doesn't bode well.
Right. So let's talk about some better news. Recently, in the California legislature, Senator Connie Leyva introduced a bill, Senate Bill 291, to expand financial aid opportunities specifically for California Community College students. So, Aisha, I know that you've heard a little bit about the bill. So, in thinking about this additional aid that would be provided directly to community college students, particularly those who are older, who are struggling, what would the passage of SB 291, how would that have impacted your life as a student?
I think it would have been an absolute game changer. Mm-hmm. And I think if this bill passes, it's going to change a lot of lives. I think that for a long time, since the inception of like the Cal Grant per se, like community college students have been left out of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? When only 4% of community college students get a Cal Grant, and that's a lot of money.
Right.
Out there, and they're not even getting a large fraction of it. And so I think if this was to pass and you have a new system for community college students that they can actually benefit from, and it'll help them like go to school full time, it'll help them pay their bills so it doesn't have to, you're working 40, 60 hours a week just to provide your bare minimum needs. So no, I think it's definitely a game changer.
How about you, Alexis? How would this have changed your experience in community colleges?
It's hard to even imagine how much it would have changed my experience because it's just so unfathomable that, you know, at any point in time, I could have not been struggling. Times where I wasn't really sure how much I had in my bank account, you know, not really sure how much I had in savings when emergencies came up. All of those different times, knowing that there was some kind of a, you know, a safety net for me would have been incredible. And a lot of times I feel like our students are held back a lot because they don't have that kind of safety net. And so I feel like it would have changed my entire life completely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I may even have had some kind of a savings for college, for going further on. Some students might be able to take up internships and fellowships and everything else and, you know, really get involved in activities that they wish they could do. But, you know, they're busy working 40-hour work weeks and they can't make the time. Right. And so I think it would be extremely incredible for this to pass.
So as we get ready to close, I want to say thank you to both of you. You've been very gracious with your time, and you've been very courageous in telling us your story. So as we close, Alexis, if there was one thing you could tell our listeners about a California Community College student, something that you feel is important for the public to understand about you and your colleagues in the system, what would that be?
I think I would say that our students are 10 times more capable than they're really seen as.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times our students are almost looked down upon for not really getting into these prestigious schools right out of high school and, you know, returning back and after not really doing so well. But every single student I've seen is completely capable of going to any of those schools and doing really well. It's just about what kind of means they had coming up and really just with that kind of help, they are completely capable of being those amazing students because they are amazing students.
Yes, they are. So how about you, Aisha? If there was one thing that you could tell our listeners about a community college student that you think it would be important for them to understand, what would that be?
I would say that community college students, especially California community college students, are resilient, and given the opportunity to thrive, they will do just that.
Right. That's a great soundbite. And certainly for myself, as a California Community College student and as someone who wouldn't be here but for the California Community Colleges, I couldn't agree more with both of you. I think for our listeners, the opportunities that we have for our nation that are buried in the community colleges across the country are just amazing. And I hope that in hearing the stories of both Aisha and of Alexis, and in thinking about what's gone on in the media lately around the college admission scandals, we really take this opportunity to look hard at the greatness we have in our community colleges across the nation and at the wonderful individuals that attend our colleges and who are just tremendous assets for our community and for our country. So again, thank you, Alexis and Aisha, for joining me here today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I'm Eloy Ortiz Oakley. I have the great privilege of leading the California Community Colleges and having students like Alexis and Aisha in our system. And you've been listening to another episode of the California Community College Chancellor's Office podcast, and we will come back to you soon. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to join us for the next California Community Colleges podcast. This has been a California Community Colleges presentation.